ask, seek, and knock. Your personal life, how do you relate to your Creator, your Maker? How do you relate to His Son? What are your desires? What are your wishes? What do you expect to gain from this life? Do you want to be a servant of the Father, or would you just kind of like to be a handy person working for yourself, or what's your choice? You see, God gives us free will in that respect, and the rest is up to you. I want to say a little bit about our Father, and maybe I'll drop a little key that might be of interest to you. You can always tell a teacher probably innermost likes by the analogies he uses. By that I mean if he uses an analogy of, say, little children or agriculture or something else to liken something to, then you know that person probably really enjoys nature itself. And you know, I like to think that we can look a little closer at the Lord Jesus Christ, because almost all of His analogies had to do with either the home or nature itself. Such as the analogy, let's take as an example, the sower. You know, He had seen those broadcast seeds being sown. And then in the 6th chapter of Matthew, He said, hey, I don't want you to worry about anything. If you believe Me and if you trust Me, if you worry for 1 minute, it's not going to add 1 second to your life. If anything, it might take a second or two away. He said, I don't want you to be a worry wart. Now, that He didn't say it exactly that way, but I'll add the wart to bring it up to date. He said it just as strong and with that strength. And then He used the analogy of the lilies of the field, how beautiful they were. He said, not even Solomon was arrayed as they're arrayed. So He loved those flowers. He loved that nature. He loved this earth that He had created when that Spirit moved upon the water. It just gives you a real good feeling to know and to understand that, because then you can begin to better relate to His parables, to His teachings, for they are not a complicated thing. I'm going to use the parable in the 7th chapter, the one or two given there, the analogies. Only I'm not going to teach them on level one. We're going to plow deep today. We're going all the way down to the beam and plow on the 3rd level. That's to say, and it's very simple, it's just what He was talking about. And quite frankly, the subject is your beliefs. The subject is not on the 1st level, as many would like to think, as how people judge one another for this little thing or the other, but kind of for how you believe people will judge you. While they're... I won't mention, well, like, oh, well, never mind him, he's a Baptist, or you'll have to understand that one, that's a Methodist or a Presbyterian. You know, we have all of these little cliches and words and labels that we affix to people. You're not really supposed to do that, because people are people, individuals are individuals, they are all children of God, regardless of what shingle might be over the door, and we are not to judge them. We are to consider their beliefs as they align with yours. But we must remember foremost also that it's everybody's right to believe whatever they choose. I think our Father wanted us to maintain that, because you can't have the authority to make someone else's mind up for them. Or how possibly could they be judged whether they be fit for the kingdom or hell? You see. So our Father intended that everybody pretty well have free reign for their own life. Okay, let's pick it up if we may. In chapter 7, and Father tells you, I'm going to back up into 6 for just a moment. He had just talked of the lily in the field. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now that doesn't mean that you're supposed to be absolutely ignorant and have made no plans for tomorrow. But he says if you've made your plans well, and you've thought it through, and you've done your application, I'll take care of the rest of it. Don't worry about it. I'll see that it works. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. That's the nations. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, that ye have need of all these things. He's very intelligent. He knows what your requirements are. But seek, there's one of our first words, seek. Remember, we're going to make the subject of this ask, seek, and knock. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let that be the first thing that you seek for. The door to it. The key that gets you in. And His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, if you're really seeking what you're supposed to be seeking, you don't have to worry about your needs. God will take care of them. Now that's to say, using common sense, after you have made your plans well, used common sense, and gone about your business, you know His blessings. You can have two men leaving their home for employment or whatever. Maybe, let's say, looking for wild persimmons, all right? And God can interrupt either one of them with any event, any distraction, or whatever He so chooses, that one's going to bring home a big bucket of persimmons, and the other will just have enough, and even they will probably pucker the family's mouth. Okay? All right? I don't know how many salmon hunters we got in here, but that means He picked them a little green. They'll sure pucker you up. All right? So, but God has, He can cause you to shake the tree just right, and with one, the limb might break and fall on his head, and with the other, oh, they just fall right in the bucket. All right? What I'm saying is, He's true to His word. He can cause blessings to come your way if you plan with common sense and do what? Seek the kingdom of heaven. And seeking that, you're seeking His word, His truth. What it is that you're supposed to do as a true son or daughter of the living God that pleases Him. You know, so many people would believe, I think, I don't know if it's from traditions of men, if it's human nature or what, but I've just got to get out and crawl and beg for God to give me anything. He's just the tightest wad I ever saw in my life. That's not true. He owns everything. And you're His child. And if you'll just go at it the right way, He just loves to please you. Don't you, your children? Don't you like to please your children when they deserve a reward? Well, of course you do. Well, then, why do you think you're a better person than Almighty God is? You're not. He loves to pour it out on His children when they please Him. So the stage is set, and then He gives us a little pastoral talk. You ready for it? Chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't be too quick to criticize people. Their lot is their lot. And I dare say that most of you enjoy studying God's Word in depth. You like to really get down there where the old plow goes below the surface. And you're doing a good job of turning over the deep soil. But my friends, look back in your life. Was there ever a time that, oh, well, it's Sunday again. Well, I guess I better go to church, think what the neighbors will think, you know, if we don't get the family up and get them down there. They'll think we're a bunch of heathen. You know, oh, well, we've got to do it. Let's just get it done. And they go in and say, I love Jesus. Smile if you love Him. Amen. Whew, that's over with. On my way home. You know, you didn't really have that much of an interest, is what I'm saying, perhaps in studying the deep soil. So don't judge those people. It isn't your place to. God's going to judge them. All right. He will judge them, and He'll be fair about it. All right. Two. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. My friend, there are never truer words spoken. You got to believe me. You got to believe the Father. If you mete it out, you better mete out what you enjoy, because it's coming back at you. What goes around comes around. It happens all the time. You know, a lot of people, my neighbor. Let me tell you something. Sometimes your neighbor is in a better position to really be a brother to you than your own brother. Your own brother lives maybe 10 miles down the road. If you're going on vacation, old Bud says, Bob, don't you worry a bit. I'm going to go by and look for your house. And on the way home, he sweeps by there and he picks up the newspapers and he's gone. And there's at your house. And he's 10 miles down the road. But you got a neighbor next door, if you'll treat him right, that he's there all night long next to your property, looking out for it for you. So it pays to get along. It really does. And a neighbor can be one of the best, I'm going to say own. A good neighbor is one of the best things in the world that you can own, because it's yours, all right? His relationship to you, that's for you and that's for him. And when you can share that way and help each other, it's a blessing. Boy, the old worries of what, I wonder if I unplugged the coffee pot. I wonder if I did this. Well, should we turn around and go back? None of you have probably ever done that. I come into the Passover meeting, I drove 30 miles and found out my briefcase wasn't in the car. I turned around and went back. But anyway, a good neighbor that you can call and check on, you know, have him check on something, that's worth a bunch. So always see that when you're meeting out, if he's going on vacation, hey, is there anything I can do for you while you're gone? You know, you take the first step, and then God will bless that relationship. So whatever you pass out, that's what you'll get back. You kick that neighbor's dog, get out of my yard. I mean, that neighbor loves that dog like a child. And when you kick that pup, it's just like kicking him right in the heart, you see. And he thinks, that's the meanest woman I ever saw in my life, kicking my dog around that way. And I don't know if it would be a woman or a man. What difference does it make, all right? But what goes around comes around. Point made. Let's get on with it here. 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? Now, a mote is a little bitty tiny thing, all right? It's just he's got a little bitty thing there that he's not seeing quite clear. That's been taught in a prior chapter, that if your eye is kind of dark, your whole body can be dark. And this has nothing to do with someone physically not being able to see. It's spiritual. You got it? In other words, if you can see the word spiritually, your body shines forth light, you know, rather than to have that darkness. Got that little old bitty spot there in his eye, but consider it's not the beam. You know what a beam is? That's a whole plank in your own eye, all right? It's real that is in thine own eye. It's just real easy, you know. Well, everybody knows I'm a good old boy or a good old girl, and we get real lax on ourselves, all right? When really, we have no business telling this person or that person. It doesn't hurt to plant seed. Don't ever forget that. And understand, we're going to teach this in a spiritual sense. But when you just pull up in their yard and just with a whole bale of hay and just offload the whole thing right on their lawn, okay? I mean, you know every scripture and you intend to get rid of it. I mean, tell them. Wrong. That's not the way you fish, friend. You got to be gentle. You got to take your time. First of all, you've got to discover first whether it's going to grow or not. So be careful what you say about your neighbors in relationship to your own in-depth knowledge. All right. I mean, it can get to be overwhelming at all the truth and knowledge that I have in my head. I don't know why I would even bother with those little people that are just in Sunday school, you know. Watch that. Because you see, there's only one reason God gives you knowledge, and that's to share it in the correct way, to be gentle, to be loving. And quite frankly, if you don't have that love, you don't really have the true knowledge of God. You're a puffed up hypocrite if you think you know more than everyone else and are able to judge everyone else. It just doesn't work that way. Okay? Let's go on now to verse 4. Did we read that? Oh, how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is thine own eye. You can't see the woods for the forest, in other words, because of self-importance. Verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly. You can see what the person's problem is. You can feel it. You can understand it. To cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye, you can help him. I want you to think on the deeper level. What are we talking about? Eyes to see. Do you have eyes to see? You cannot have eyes to see if you got the beam in your eye. Eyes to see what? The analogy that Jesus used, blessed are you that have eyes to see and ears to hear. So, what does it mean when we take the saying, eyes to see? It means with understanding. That you can understand what it is your Father wants of you. Really. Now, not just to fill a church chair or pew or whatever, but what He really wants of you. Then you have eyes to see that. And you become a doer. Maybe just a little bit of a wave. Whatever. It doesn't matter. To Him, it's a bunch. All right? It's a bunch. So, on the deeper respect, what He's talking about is that some people can't see the whole Word. Why? As it's written in Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, I don't intend that everybody see. That's why I speak in parables in the first place. I don't want everyone just right off the bat to see and understand the Word because they're not able. You see, in our Father's eye, and He being the judge, when you do certain things, when you absolutely know from God's Word that it's wrong, a no-no, example, standing against the Antichrist and then bowing to Him, that can mean that's the unforgivable sin. As long as they're blind, they can't commit that sin. Do you understand? Because they're ignorant of the whole Word. So the beam is there sometimes for a purpose. It's sad, but it's true, and it's the words of Jesus, not mine. Matthew 13, verse 10, again, documenting it. So be careful, and let's gear our minds up now to those that can truly see well into our Father's Word and what you're to do. First, you get the plank out of your own eye. That's the first step. 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. You know, probably where some Christianity teaches we should be do-gooders, all right? But sometimes in being a do-gooder, you can hurt people. Somebody that lives where the analogy is here, on the level that they would be classified as with swine, then certainly you should be planting a little bit of a seed and see if they can raise themselves up a little bit closer to where God would want them, before you would take the more in-depth, beautiful truths. In other words, teach them on the first level. Don't go to the third at that time. He says, first of all, with all these things said, I don't want you taking my beautiful word and casting it before dogs or swine. But you can change his children and raise them from that state of knowledge and learning and love. 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What is he talking about there? What is he talking about there? Let's see. Let's take I think this black one will probably show up better. ask, seek, and knock. Let's use a little analogy. Let's take this little girl right here. If her mother, and she wants to communicate with her, is in the same room with her, what does she do? All she's got to do is ask, Mama, can I have a soda pop? Is that what you'd ask for, honey? Yeah, it's good. All right. Now, if Mama isn't in the same room, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to seek. In other words, she's going to have to say, well, where is Mama? And she's going to go through maybe the whole house. She knows Mama's somewhere in that house. And Mama's out on the back porch ironing. Well, we don't do that much anymore. Does your Mama iron any, darling? She does. Well, all right. We got it right. I knew, I thought. Didn't look like I could be wrong. But Mama's got the door pulled shut, and she knows you don't open doors on Mama without knocking first and asking for permission to come in. So you knock. Now, beloved, take that and relate it to yourself. Ask if you have that spirit within you and you know he's there. Ask him. He wants you to. Ask, and it shall be given. What shall be given? More pearls that you're supposed to protect and not cast before swine. Meaning what? A Cadillac? No way. He's already told you, hey, that stuff is non-essential. I'll give you that when you need it. You do the rest of this. Then I'll take care of that for you. You don't have to ask for that stuff. He says, I already know what you have need of. First, seek the kingdom. I don't know really what that kingdom is. That's what I'm saying. Seek it. Well, where do I find it at? In the Word. And in his writings, and you dig, and you look, and you study to show yourself approved. And when you seek for it, he said, you're going to find it. And there will be times, beloved, when you're studying and when you're looking for an answer, that you're going to have to seek and seek. And it's not going to come through for you. That's why he added, knock. Because we mortals, there is no way that we can have the mind of God. So that's when you find a place, wherever you're comfortable with, and you say, Father, my Father, which is in heaven, help me to understand. Help me to find the door. Help me to find the way. Help me to find this. Help me to understand the Scripture. And sometimes, in 1 second, he'll unload just like a computer dumping data. And you'll say, oh, so simple. Why didn't I see that? Because you're a human being. God had to show you. Why did he did it? Why did he do it? You knocked. Now, if we take all three of these, they basically have the same pattern. If you look at it, what is this? A-S-K, ask. It doesn't hurt to ask your Father. Ask, and he will give it, if it's those pearls. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, maybe it'll be open. It will be opened to you. You can't ask for better than that. Doesn't he love us? Doesn't he love you that if you just take a moment, if you listen to him, if you search, you must do these things, or he, when you knock, will say, there's nobody home. Sorry. You forgot the other steps, my friend. Nobody home. Got to do it his way. Plan your life using common sense. Seeking. Remember we read that word seek back in the last chapter? The kingdom of heaven. And then when you ask, seek or knock, you've got a guarantee. If the guarantee doesn't work, you're doing something wrong, or God has lied to us, and I guarantee you He hasn't lied to us. I have used that too many times in my life in teaching. When I had a lecture to teach, we were due to go up live on satellite an hour away, and I couldn't understand it. And you say, "Father, I know there's good meat here, and I know I'm missing something. I'm leaving something out that you have for your children, we children." And bam, He'll just download the computer, you know, right into the mind. And then you say, "Oh, Lord, I don't know why you even have, how you have so much patience with me. That I should have known that all the time." Ask. Don't ever be ashamed to ask. You see, that's going to help your prayer life a great deal if you'll think on these things. It gives you a rule of when you should ask, and if you don't even know what to ask for, what do? You seek. And if you don't even know what you're seeking for, then knock. Invite Him in, or He'll invite you in. And then you will find those answers. Okay? I wanted you to get a real good grip on that, because we're going to continue on in this teaching now, and I think it's going to mean a great deal more to you on the third level. Verse 8. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." Were there any conditions there? The conditions were preset by the prior verses. No. "Receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." You can believe that, beloved. That's what faith is called. Verse 9. "Of what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread..." I just love it, the way he puts this relationship between a father and a son, or a mother and a daughter. It just really puts it down where we can get a hold of it. You know what I mean? You can really understand it. "Which one of you, having a child, whom if his child ask bread..." I'm hungry, Mama. "Daddy, I need something to eat. I'm hungry." Will he give him a stone? You know, there were stones back about this time. It looked a lot like a loaf of bread, you know, that were utilized. You wouldn't play a trick like that on your own little old child. You would say, "Here, darling, come on, let's follow me in the kitchen here, or sit down here and I'll bring it to you." And you would, if the child really was hungry, and a parent has a way of knowing, don't they? You know if your child is putting on to get a piece of candy or something of that nature, or if they're hungry. God knows your appetite. You don't con God. So when you ask, make sure you really want, or you're liable to get something maybe that wouldn't be as pleasant as a piece of candy. All right? Do you see where I'm coming from? Verse 10. "Or if he ask a fish..." Little child says, "I want some meat." "Will he give him a serpent?" He said that for a very special reason. I want you to go with me to the book of John. Turn there. Hold your place there. What kind of bread are we talking about here that a child asked for? Weren't we discussing seeking deeper into the Father's Word? Well, what is this bread of life? Let's go to old chapter 6 of St. John, and let's pick it up with verse 35. "And Jesus said unto him," bearing bread in mind now, "I am the bread of life." What is he other than that? He's also the Word of God, the living Word. Do you ever seek it? When a child asks for the true bread, he's going to give it to you. "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I will never give one of my children something that they ask for." if it has to do with the bread of life, with this beautiful Word of God, with this truth that strengthens you, with this go power that makes you a can-do type person. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no way, no wise, cast out. I don't care what kind of dumb questions you ask, if you're legitimate in your seeking, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to throw you out. So don't ever be afraid to ask. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. What was his will? To save his children. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. God doesn't want to lose one little child. You don't want to lose any of yours, do you? I hope not. No, you don't, of course. That's silly. Well, he doesn't want to lose any of his either. But he's going to, and he knows it. Don't ever take that kick to think, well, God then can say. No, there's some of them, if they don't change, he can't afford because of his love for the others. You understand? But should raise it up again at the last day. That's at the first resurrection, God's elect at the end of the millennium, those that will believe. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him should have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Also, that's you. Okay? Now, that's the bread. If you ask the Father for the bread of life, something, that key, that gate to the kingdom, something you don't understand, he's not going to hold it back from you, beloved. Don't be one of these little seekers that'll work 5 minutes and say, I tried. That's silly. 5 minutes is all you've got time for the Father's Word or a truth, the pearl that is priceless? And you can't look over 5 minutes? Think about that. But that's the bread that he's talking about in that parable. Is what about the stone? What would he be giving him in that stone? Turn with me to the book of Peter. Let's see. I believe it's chapter 1. I'll tell you in just one second here. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to start reading there. Ye also are lively stones, and build up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture. It's written in this book. It's written in this Word. Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, not be confused. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. He's not going to give you a rock of offense. He's going to give you the chief cornerstone, the foundation that will always hold you in place and secure. He's not going to put... Do you know what a stumbling stone is? How many of you have ever walked barefooted down an old path and you're looking up, guy walking along, and your old big toe, you lay it on a big one, you know, and you say things maybe, or think things real quick before you get yourself under control about, oh, that hurts. You know, sometimes even break a little old toe or something. The Father doesn't want that to happen to you. He wants you to see him as the chief cornerstone. I'm going to read 8 over again. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. At the what? This word. His word. Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. So keep that beam out of your eye. Play it all the way or repent and start over. What I started to say is play it all the way or don't try to play it at all, but that's not a good statement at all, because we all fall short. We all stumble occasionally. And within that, that's what repentance is built in for. But if you ask for God's Word to be open to you, what has He said? He's not going to give you a rock of offense, which would mean deception. He's not going to allow you then to what? To be deceived. To be misled. To be misled by some man, or a misunderstanding of this Word, or some other Word. He's going to take care of you. Now, what else did he ask for? There was, let's see, if he asks us for fish, will he give him a serpent? What is the fish symbolic of, beloved? Christianity, of course, right? Always has been. And meat of the Word. If you ask for the true Christ, he's not going to give you the serpent. That old serpent which was in the garden in the beginning. Lucifer, that old devil which shall come as Antichrist. The deceiver of all deceivers, teaching and following doctrines of men. Do you think God, for one moment, if you ask for bread, the truth, the real Word of life, that He will allow you to be ensnarled or entangled in the web that Satan weaves in his hour, the hour of darkness that is upon this earth, even at this time? Of course He will not. Ask, and you'll get your answer. Seek in this Word, and you're going to find it. Knock, if you can't understand it. Ask Him. Ask His permission to come in. And when He allows you in, you sup with Him in this Word. He is the bread. And you will never be given a serpent. All right, let's return, if we may, to the 7th chapter of Matthew to finish and conclude the lecture. He says, I promise you I won't do that to you. Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to do good gifts, give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? Let me tell you something, my dear friends. He can't hardly wait for you to ask for information that opens the door to His love. It pleases Him. It gives Him great joy when you show Him that attention. No different than when your child shows you attention. Like my little old granddaughter come over yesterday and here... You get a schedule all charted up, and she says, Papa, play with me. I've got time. I've got all the time in the world. You know? So does he when you ask, even as you would your own child. Do you see? It pleases him. It thrills him. Okay. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye so. Do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You can take the prophets of the Word and the law of the Word, and that's the sum of the whole thing. Do you know what he's really saying there also? And I don't want you to miss it. If you haven't asked, if you haven't sought, and if you haven't knocked, friend, you're not going to be much help to your neighbor. Oh, you can... And I'm not downgrading this, because it's beautiful when you can assist your neighbor raise a barn. But how much have you helped him if you raised a barn? And I'm not taking away from that, beloved. That's a very neighborly thing to do. But how much better of a neighbor are you if you can plant a seed and save his soul? Do you see what I'm saying? You see, that's the most neighborly thing in the world you can do. Don't force anything on your neighbor. But see that you're timely with the Word that you have grown skilled in. Because it's like it's like a high-powered precision mill. I don't want to use a mill because a lot of people might, a drill bit. All right, it's really high precision, and it'll drill a hole through anything. But if you get too anxious, ping, and boy, I mean that diamond tip bit is gone. See, so don't cast just pearls before swine. You got the picture? 13, even enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Beloved, the straight gate to what? The kingdom. That's what all this has been talking about. The way to deception, the road is so wide you can turn on a television in the morning and anywhere from saying, if you will support this church, that's all you have to do, God's going to take care of you for supporting this ministry. You don't have to do anything. You can sin, you can stay at home, you can do whatever you want to, but send your money here. You can buy your way into heaven. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you know from the heart that's said every day. On some, basically at the bottom of it, I'm not judging them. That's what they're after. That's what they're thinking about, is your money. And there's, that's a wide gate. Some would say, we're going to fly out of here and you don't have to learn the word. You don't have to seek because you're going to be gone. That's not the word of the Lord. That's the word of man. It's a mighty wide gate when it's put that way. And it's not the straight gate, and it does not lead to the kingdom. So you seek after having asked and knock, and he will answer. And that straight gate is just right. Couldn't be any better. You won't have any problem at all getting through that straight gate. As a matter of fact, it'll feel so good compared to the wide. You'll say, thank you, Father, for your word. Okay, which verse did we get to? 14, maybe? Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. You know, that's a verse that many people say, well, how can that be? There were millions of Christians. And it's good. I'm glad that there are. But some of them are going to find that it'll be the end of the millennium before they enter the straight gate. It's quite a ways off. A lot more teaching. All right? Few enjoy studying our Father's Word really in depth to understand. I love our brethren, and I will not look down at them. I will not turn my nose up at them. I love them. They're our Father's children. And I would suppose that if anyone should feel guilty, it would be that we haven't been good enough teachers or sharers, or it wouldn't be quite that bad. You see where I'm coming from? Let our Father do the judging. And may we bless Him and praise Him for this wonderful platform that He has given us, that we're now going into 37 million homes plus I don't know how many all the way around the world. And we're about to open up at least a minimum of 10 million more. Do you realize that'll be 47 million homes in America and Canada and Alaska and Hawaii? That's a lot of homes. A lot of them. And may we strive all the harder to ask, to seek, and to knock, that we are worthy to stand on that platform and deliver His Word. Okay? And may we always be aware of this that follows. 15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Well, how do I, can I see inside? Real easy. Listen to the next verse. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Did you ever see anybody go out of old tumbleweed and pick big old plump juicy figs off of it? No way. You can tell by the fruit of a work, your work primarily, what it is, all right, and what, how you're aligned and so forth, all right? That's also the way you tell a false prophet. God, listen to me carefully, God never appointed a prophet to be a beggar. He never has, and I am sure in my mind and heart he never will. Because God supplies platforms for his word and the family that are involved therein. Not a bunch of beggars. If all you hear is begging, do you think that's a prophet of God or a teacher of God's prophets? Of course not. People talk about the subject they most enjoy, right? I mean, if you and I, as an example, were in a place where we sit down, probably it wouldn't be too long that if I could switch you over into talking about airplanes, and we could talk about airplanes and flying if you were a pilot for the rest of the day. It would be a very pleasant day for me. I'm talking about off time from God's Word now. I'm saying you can tell a person by what they talk about, what they seek. So can you when you hear a prophet or a so-called man of God teach. If all he can do again is beg for money, he's a beggar. A one-verse Charlie. Keep in his word. Judge the fruit. Taste it. 17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. It's that simple. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. God will do that judging. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You got that? There are a lot of people that say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a Christian. And they walk through gates, but they're not going to walk through the kingdom of heaven's gate. Not yet, until they get into the bread that is the true bread. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we preached in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. You know what he's going to say to them? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And he continues on then, following that. If you're a wise person, if you have sought and found, you're going to build your house, that's this tabernacle, on a solid rock. And you know what that rock is. It's that rock spoken of as the chief cornerstone. It's Jesus Christ. And when you're standing on that rock that is Jesus Christ, I don't care how the wind blows. I don't care how much of a flood Satan spews forth from his mouth, as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, that he shall do. Lies, spiritual lies. Your house will stand. But build your house, he continues, on the sinking sand of the traditions of men. And you better have a life jacket at every door, both the front and the back and every window. Because when the wind starts, you better put the life jacket on because you're going to have to swim. You're going to have to swim for the gate and hope it isn't too late for you to find the right gate. The Word of God is simple. Ask. He's waiting for you to ask. Seek. If you don't know, that's nothing to be ashamed of. Then hunt for it. If you can't find it, then knock. That means ask him, talk to him. And he will open to you. He loves you. That's his promise. And my friends, you can count on it. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Father, we would ask that you be with us for the remainder of this day and this week until we meet again. Father, thank you for the understanding of your word. We know, Father, that you will never give us the serpent, but will in fact use his family as a tool to stomp on the serpent's head. Thank you, Father, for your precious truth. We do this in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus. Amen.